you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Just a reminder, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, live NPR coverage and analysis of President Biden's address to a joint session of Congress, much like we're used to seeing at a State of the Union address. It's not technically that, but the president is, for the first time before that joint session, going to lay out what's happened during the first 100 days of his administration and outline undoubtedly his priorities moving forward. It's here live, 6 o'clock from NPR, Wednesday evening on KPECC. Right now, we turn our attention to last Thursday's announcement by the California State University System and the University of California that it's going to be requiring full vaccination for the return of students to campus. This follows with a number of private colleges and universities which have set similar requirements, but not all schools have done so. Joining us is KPECC LAist reporter covering higher education, Adolfo Guzman Lopez. Adolfo, very good morning to you. I know the people were awaiting this word from the CSU and the UC because it sounded like at first it was going to be kind of a patchwork.
Right. And they were waiting this because across the country, other universities had taken this step. So Duke, Rutgers, Brown, Cornell, other universities had all announced COVID vaccine requirements for a fall return to courses. And this was a big announcement on Thursday between the two university systems, Cal State University and UC System. We're talking about 33 campuses, over a million people. So that's students and employees. So the requirement that for the return to fall at those campuses, if you want to be on campus, you have to have a COVID vaccine. That was a big announcement.
Well, yeah. And one of the things I was looking to clarify, it does appear that this is contingent on the FDA giving that, you know, final approval for the vaccines. It's currently for emergency use that the authorization has been given. Is that your understanding, Adolfo, that they're not going to make this a hard-clad requirement until that happens?
And that's where the devil's in the details, right? So even though the headline, the announcement, you know, this joint statement by CSU and UC, which you rarely see, said that vaccinations will be required for the fall, you did have, you know, that is contingent on full FDA approval, which, as you know, none of the three vaccines currently being administered to people right now have that full approval. As a matter of fact, the steps that the companies need to take in order for that to get that full approval haven't even been taken. So it's, and the people I talk to who are infectious disease experts say that full approval of any of the three vaccines, because of the way that the testing of their effectiveness happens, won't come for another year and a half.
So does that then essentially make the requirement moot, that a student can say, I'm not fully vaccinated, but I'm waiting for it to be fully authorized and then be allowed back on campus?
Well, here's where, you know, it gets very nuanced. So I asked both the UC and the Cal State system to respond to that seeming discrepancy, right, between, you know, the very high, the very low possibility that any of the three vaccines will get full approval by the fall, and CSU and UC requiring students and employees to be vaccinated. And I got a response from the Cal State system saying that, you know, they wanted to make sure that these steps were in place, that the requirement was in place in case that that full approval did happen by the fall. But then that raises the question as to whether, well, it's unlikely that CSU and UC doesn't know the steps that the vaccines need to take for full approval. So the doctor I talked to from USC, Dr. Edward Jones Lopez, did believe that this is a what's behind this requirement is more of a motivation to get people to get vaccinated, to have the be fully vaccinated, which then raises the question of is there an ulterior motive? And the ulterior motive in this case, Larry, is very clear, and it's a public good ulterior motive, because there is a consensus that the more people who are vaccinated, the shorter this pandemic will last.
Well, and especially with the UCs, you've got campuses with thousands of campus housing units, and that's where this issue is going to be biggest, is in those congregate living settings.
Well, not only housing units, but also classrooms, large classrooms, small classrooms. I'd done some reporting on this a couple of weeks ago before the announcement, and had reached out to the Cal State system and found a patchwork of policies. Cal State Long Beach, for instance, had already told their students who had planned to live in the dorms in the fall that they need to be vaccinated. Cal Poly Pomona told its students there will be no vaccination requirement. And then other campuses in Southern California, like Northridge, San Bernardino, LA, Dominguez Hills, had not made any decision. And this patchwork approach was really upsetting to the employee unions, the classified employee unions and the faculty employee unions, because it's uncertainty, right? The employees don't know what to expect. But now that there's this requirement, it seems to answer some of the questions, but it still has not answered questions.
We're talking with KPECC and LAist higher education reporter Rodolfo Guzman Lopez. I'd like to hear from you. If you're a college student, have you heard from your school yet? And have you gotten fully vaccinated yet? Or is it something you're planning to do in the intervening time before you return to campus in the fall? 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. I'd like to hear from you, if you're a college student, what you've heard from the institution you attend and what your plans are relative for that, and also what your friends are doing. I was talking with my son about it. He's fully vaccinated, and most of his friends are on their way to full vaccination. So the point kind of becomes moot when they return to campus in the fall. 866-893-KPECC. Also with us, senior editor at the Chronicle for Higher Education, Alex Kafka. He's been closely following the college vaccination requirements on a national basis. Alex, it's good to have you with us. Appreciate it so much. So what are we seeing? Is there a growing consensus?
Hey, Larry. Hey, Adolfo. Thanks for having me on the show. Yes, there is a growing consensus. And I guess I'm hearing slightly different information than Adolfo's getting about the FDA approval. It's true that under normal circumstances, it would take, maybe a couple years for that approval to come. But obviously, COVID is not a normal circumstance. And the infectious disease experts I've spoken to are more optimistic that they're going to get FDA approval on one or more vaccines sooner, probably early summer, maybe even late spring. Now, of course, all these plans, all these predictions have a big asterisk by them. COVID throws a lot of curveballs, and no one expected the week-long J&J pause last week and stuff like that. But folks are more optimistic. As far as vaccine mandates, right now the legal waters are a little murky because we are still under the emergency use authorization. But lawyers tell me that once FDA approval comes, that'll be a real game changer. Certainly for private colleges and possibly, in some circumstances for public ones too.
And what about for faculty, for staff members? Are most of these schools looking at the requirement not just for students living in campus housing, but across the board?
So I don't want to say most because, there are 4,000 or something higher ed institutions in America, and there's a pretty wide range. But I would say certainly many, if not most, are you know, leaning toward not just mandating vaccines for students, but also for faculty and staff. Because you have to remember, you know, colleges, they're not walled off communities. They're in proximity to their towns, and so all kinds of, you know, local hospital and ICU status depends on colleges sort of keeping their COVID rates under control, and their, you know, workplace safety rules at issue here too. And so, you know, it wouldn't make sense for them just to you know, seek for their students to be vaccinated.
Again, I'd love to hear from those of you, not just students, but faculty members, staff members, administrators of local colleges, or if you're a student heading back to college, you assume, in the fall, what have you heard from your college or university about whether there'll be a vaccine requirement? Michelle in Huntington Beach, I understand you teach at Golden West College in Huntington Beach. What have they said about any requirement?
I have not heard of any requirements, but often what happens is the CSU system or the, you know, the UC systems, they tend to do some of the similar situations, such as the closing down of campus was around the same time. But personally, I would really like that to be a mandatory for people that are in the classrooms, because then I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry if one student doesn't think it's real and another student has something that would cause them to be more vulnerable. So I would like it. My son is going to Long Beach State, and he also would like everyone to be vaccinated within his classroom, just for safety measures, at least during this fall semester.
Sure. And your son commutes to Cal State Long Beach?
Yes.
Okay. Michelle, thank you very much. 866-893-KPECC. Adolfo, do we have any word from the community colleges yet?
We don't have any word yet. And that speaks to how differently they are governed than the Cal State system and the UC system. The community colleges are governed by local boards, local campus presidents. So there's just a lot more autonomy in, you know, the 100 plus community college systems. You know, something else I wanted to say, Larry, about yeah. how this is going to work out is that this morning I got word from the Cal State Chancellor's office that the policy is still being written as we speak, and that once it is finished, that is, it's going to be shared with employees and students for feedback. And it will be negotiated with the employee groups, the employee unions at Cal State. Both the classified workers and the faculty are unionized in the Cal State systems. The classified employees have told me that they're in this vaccine requirement, they're interested in seeing that employee privacy is respected, that these religious and other exemptions are respected. And here's an interesting thing, Larry, that consequences for not getting the vaccine once the requirement is in place, that the consequences be clear. So that's going to be interesting to know how UC and Cal State come up with, what are they going to do with an employee and a student who has no, you know, religious or medical exemptions and just refuses to get the vaccine.
Yeah, good point. Renee writes on our page, I started graduate school at UCLA last fall during the pandemic. We've been receiving several emails regarding return to campus this fall and planning on being in LA later this year, but this is the first we've heard about a vaccine requirement. I thought I remembered hearing earlier in the pandemic we'd be getting the vaccine through the university, but I haven't heard anything regarding that anymore and have already begun getting my vaccine elsewhere. I see no problem with the requirement, however. It's the only way I would feel safe being on campus. That's Renee writing on the AirTalk page. Adolfo, have you heard any of the schools reaching out to their students if they've had trouble getting an appointment to offer that at the Student Health Center they could get vaccinated?
Well, here's where some of the universities that are affiliated with either medical schools and that sort of thing have an advantage. USC has, they tell me, done a good job trying to get as many of their employees and students vaccinated. Some of the smaller colleges and universities that don't have any kind of formal connection to either a hospital or health clinics have told me they're at a bit of a disadvantage, but they are promoting vaccination quite a bit. So they've done that part of the job.
All right. Very good. And before I let you go, Alex Kafka of the Chronicle for Higher Education, are other schools dealing with some of these same negotiations and labor concerns that Adolfo was mentioning with the California public universities?
They certainly are. You know, there's a pretty wide range of circumstances, but there are a lot of course, faculty and staff unions and negotiations and a lot of communication. And I'd say there's sort of radical transparency going on because the stakes are so high for higher education, which even with all the relief efforts is tens of billions of dollars, you know, in the red after a really horrible COVID year. So I think most stakeholders realize how important it is to sort of get back into business as safely and as soon as possible.
All right. Joy in Upland says, I'm a student and a teacher. I teach at Orange Coast College, and I'm a graduate student at Claremont Graduate University. Neither school has mandated, but they did announce the resumption of in-person classes. I've taught in-person classes as of now. I teach a welding class, Joy said. Joy, thank you for that. I appreciate it. My thanks to KPCC and LAist higher education reporter Rodolfo Guzman-Lopez and Alex Kafka, senior editor at The Chronicle for higher education. Coming up, we'll talk about whether mathematical modeling has the ability to predict the future. You might think that's absurd, except for a professor in Connecticut whose predictions of a decade ago are showing themselves to be remarkably accurate. He used math to get to that place. We'll talk about that coming up in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.